5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. One more hour to go here on a Wednesday afternoon. Cody Tucker will join me in about 15 minutes or so. Talk about that amazing win by the Wyoming Cowboys over Texas Tech last weekend. That's kind of the one that's definitely not being talked about, at least in the state, and I get it. But if the Buffs didn't do what they did, that might be a bigger story, the fact that Wyoming did. And I know, like, Denver media is not going to hit that at all, but it was a very big win. Tanner Schwinn is joining us in studio here. Tanner?
That was the cap off to maybe the worst Saturday Rams fans could have had. After that long delay and everything like that in
Wyoming. I think their coach getting kicked out against Nevada was the worst thing.
Well, for this year. Starting it off. I'd say capping off of the worst Saturday. I mean, that was everything that could go wrong as a Rams fan went wrong. CU gets an impressive win. You get just absolutely embarrassed. I was giving Kevin Lytle of the Colorado a hard time on Good Morning NOCA on Tuesday. He's like, I don't think... Or he goes, no, it was far from the worst thing that could have happened. I'm like... Unless an EF5 tornado was barreling down on Canvas, that's the only thing that could have made it worse.
It could have been 59-0.
You get three garbage, touchdowns late in the game. It doesn't matter. That's as bad of an opening performance as you could have had.
The thing that irritates me the most on this is, you just said it, garbage points.
Yeah.
And yet that's warranting a quarterback change.
Yeah, and I think that... Rams fans are just so irritated because I think we still all believe Norvell's the guy. This is the first time he's been questioned a little bit, and I think rightfully so from what you've told me and Kevin and Miles and all everybody who follows CSU as closely as you do. I think it's warranted. I think they're just so desperate. You got a desperate fan base because you see now's the opportunity to pounce, and you lay a stinker like that. You talk about some of the issues with the stadium, which has been the calling. They were still number one in Mountain West attendance. CSU was number one in Mountain West attendance over the weekend.
And it's like being the prettiest crap in the toilet bowl, though.
But I mean, as long as you're going to be...
They have the best stadium in the Mountain West.
But as long as you're going to be a turd in the toilet, you might as well be the best one. And that's what they were. And imagine what that place would be if the product on the field started to be better.
Well, here's what I don't get, though. And I get reasons to go after Joe Parker. But that Saturday had nothing to do with him. I don't know that he's the right leader going forward. I don't know. But everybody would have signed off on the Jay Norvell hire.
Yeah.
So you hired the coach. It's not Joe Parker's fault that Jay Norvell came out timid on Saturday. That's not Joe Parker's fault.
Right. But I think when you look at the laundry list of things that Rams fans have done with Joe Parker.
But then that means that you're
Parker.
Saying that it wasn't a good hire then?
I think, because even guys like that can make a good move every once in a while. And I think he's made two really good ones, right, with Nico and with Jay Norvell. I think Norvell's going to be a good one. That's still yet to be seen. But like you said, everybody would have signed off on it. But when you look at the Addazio hiring, when you look at, the report that the Coloradoan put out about what was going on in the athletic program and stuff like that, I just think that the baggage, there's so much baggage on Joe Parker that anything that goes wrong from here on out is going to fall on his shoulders because at the end of the day, he is the athletic director.
But in that same vein, in that same conversation, if you're accusing him of this is your fault, then you're basically saying that Jay Norvell was a bust. You're already saying that.
Not yet, but like everything that happened at the stadium, weren't you saying like the video froze?
Well, I said there were a lot of issues. It was tech stuff. It wasn't like the chairs were falling out or anything like that.
I get that, but those are still flaws in how
the flaws in their tech side as far as their big screen and
which all falls under the athletic director's role. I mean, you have to know that you've got the right people in places to make that happen. And here's the other thing. I think that CSU is just having a little bit of a dose of reality because in the offseason it was talks about, could they go to this place? Could they go to this place? And the reality of it is that you're not close to being there yet. CSU is nowhere close to that. And it's hard to get, it's hard to get out of that mindset, especially when, you're just great conversation with Ed Werder, by the way. That was a great interview. But when you're talking about that and you've got journalists that are getting, won't get the sit down interviews because these universities all just want their fluff pieces. They don't want to sit down and face, the sound of the music. And I think that's why the fan base goes, wait, you're not going to accept any criticism on this? And I think that's going to wear a lot on the Rams fans this year.
Yeah, the pressure's on. I mean, a lot of people went out to the game.
31,000.
What is that? 85% of what is it? 40 some thousand that they actually can fit in there. I mean, it was a cool looking environment. The student section showed out, but they're not going to stick around if they're losing.
Right.
I've been to games at Canvas where it was a one score game and people have left in droves. I mean, I've seen that before. So you're damn right they're going to walk out and leave if they're getting blown out by multiple touchdowns.
I don't fault any of the fans for not sticking around for the fourth quarter. This is not the fans' responsibility. It's the responsibility of CSU to get a good product on the field.
And it's also frustrating, too, because, you know, Joe Parker was on the Ram Nation podcast a few years ago, maybe it was a year ago, basically saying for the fans, lean in, you know, we need you. And I've seen a lot of fallback from that, saying, hey, don't ever ask us to lean in again, because we keep doing it. And but I just don't think that, like, right now, I think that Jay Norvell is still the guy.
Yeah.
I am very, very perplexed and concerned that what Kevin told you yesterday, that Norvell basically intimated that we think our defense is going to be good, and so we're going to have more of a – we're going to ease into it offensively. And that's not what we were pitched.
No.
That's not what we were told this offense was for air raid. There's no easing into it. Last year, I'll give you the pass because it was all new. Your line was bad and all that stuff. But the line seemed okay. And for all this blame to go on Clay, and I know I've got a vested interest, but still, I watched that game. Every single play, I wrote down notes, everything. And it was, it was garbage play calling.
Yeah.
It was run. It looked like the Broncos from last season. Well, run out of the shotgun, short pass, run out of the shotgun. Fourth and eight.
Well, and what did we say going into last year? Like when Norvell was hired and we were all pumped up and we played his press conference and everything like that. I kept saying, take the overs in Rams games. Lots of points going to get scored. Like, isn't that the world that you want to live in, is those high 40s where you want almost a shootout? You don't want to slow it down. So either find your identity and stick to it or change your identity. Like, if your identity, you're pushing the Ford air raid, we're going to be high flying, we're going to push the ball down the field, that normally comes with a lot of points. If that's not what you want to do anymore, quit marketing it that way and say, we're going to lean on our defense, we're going to slow the game down, and we're going to do this. But is our defense good enough to do it? Because Washington State, I don't think it's going to light the world on fire this year, and they gave up 50 to him.
I don't know. Cameron Ward's a pretty good quarterback. They could be good this year.
The DBs got torched from CSU, right? Like, anytime you give up 451 yards in the air, your defensive backs are getting torched.
Texter here from 970. The fans didn't stick around for the second quarter. Yeah, they did, actually. What I noted was fans were coming in late. Mm. Late in the first quarter, more people were filling in. So I was there for the game Saturday, and I'm sitting in the press box, and I can have a pretty good
vantage
point
from up
of
there.
The stadium. And it was pretty full.
Yeah.
By halftime, speckled back in, but then, you know, first 3 minutes into the half,
yeah, you're
down two more touchdowns. Yeah. It was 17-3 at the half. If you're leaving at 17-3, I got an issue.
Agreed.
Again, it's your money though. But don't talk to me about like making your program a big time program if you can't get 80% of your fan base to stick around.
Right.
In the game.
Well, and it is kind of funny because I've been seeing that same backlash of using the term of lean in, because the fans feel like they've done their part, and having, you know, 30 leading the Mountain West in attendance is leaning in, and the product that they're getting is still crap.
I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Jay Norvell now. I think that if this season turns out to be a 2-3 win season and you're not seeing the offense, you're not moving on from him because you can't. But next year will be, again, it's
Joe Parker. What are the chances Joe Parker gets canned?
You're going to have a scapegoat, and they'd probably do something like that.
I don't necessarily, is Joe Parker a great athletic director? Probably not, with the baggage that has come along with, like, just by how they went across, bringing Urban Meyer in for the hiring of Steve Adazio and stuff like that. I think that alone says no.
Well, and even I like Joe. Just for the record, I do like Joe. We've had weird stuff going on the last month or so, but his response to my tweet on Ram Nation that I said, yeah, they're sitting around waiting for a call, his response was, I said the Pac-12 was going to dissolve. Does that sound like someone waiting to see? Yes.
Everybody
it does.
Knew the Pac-12 was going
to
dissolve.
But they were waiting for the Pac-12 to dissolve. So again, my tweet wasn't wrong. What I had heard was that they'd made their pitch, and now they're sitting around hoping they'll call.
Yeah.
And that was what it was. So even Parker's response to that was, instead of saying, no, we put together a 20-point plan of why the Big 12 should have us and all this, and no, the response was,
I could see what was happening.
I could see the Pac-12 was going to dissolve. Does that look like someone just waiting by the phone? I mean, it doesn't look like it's not.
Right. There is no proactive moves made to make sure that when it did dissolve, you were in the front row waiting to get in. And I just think it's time. I think it is time for new blood from that role. I think somebody with some new life. I think CSU overall probably has, some issues with, you talk about the president and what she's got going on over there and Tony Frank, because Tony Frank was so revered by so many for so long over in Fort Collins, and now that he's taken a step back, I think he's still pulling the strings, but I don't think they have a clear-cut leader, and I don't necessarily believe that Joe Parker is that guy.
It's just, even when things were bad for the Buffs, Rick George commanded the room.
Yeah.
You know, when he walked in, it was Rick George.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, he was a good salesman of the school.
And he knocked it out of the park with his last hiring, right?
Well, and he knocked it out of the park with the Mel Tucker hiring.
Right.
But it didn't work out because that's just college football.
But Rick's track record is a lot better than what Joe Parker's is.
Well, he's also had a very consistent, although some would argue, but Tad Boyle has helped. I mean, Nico Medved's still relatively new.
Yeah.
But Tad Boyle, I agree with Mark on this one, Mark Johnson, you're not going to find many coaches better than that.
No, you're not.
I know they're not dancing every single year like people want them to, but...
But the loyalty to the program.
He's still one of the top coaches in this country.
Yeah.
He's not going to go down in history as one of the greats, but he's still a very solid coach. And that's helped CU, I think, a little bit. But yeah, the football program has had their issues.
This is the thing, right? Like, CSU wants to be big time, but big time universities take on criticism. They know that's part of it. And, you know, we're seeing it a lot right now in college athletics of people getting boxed out. You know, we just saw it with what Prime was good. You did with Ed Werder, and I know that's a coach doing it, but they are making it where if these independent journalists or whatever platform they're on that isn't directly in the pocketbook of the university aren't allowed access, you've got a lot more troubles coming to you. Like, there's a lot of issues with that, because if you're just going to try to shield yourself and say, no, we've never done anything wrong, like, people can see through that BS. I joke all the time that people are dumb, and in a large part they are, but they can also see through BS. And I think the CSU Rams fans are tired of the, oh, I'm okay, you're okay, everyone's okay, BS that we see in a lot of fashions.
Tanner Schwint, thank you for popping by and hanging out with us.
Thanks for the invite.
Bit.
I appreciate it, my friend.
All right, 18 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to have Cody Tucker from 7220sports.com. All the Wyoming Cowboys did was went and won a huge game in overtime against Texas Tech. So we'll talk to Cody about that on the other side of this break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
23 minutes after the hour, our next guest, we're just going to start calling him a wizard now. He has a beard. He predicted a tough game to predict for the Cowboys. Wyoming beat Texas Tech in double overtime, 35-33. Cody the Wizard Tucker joining us from 7220sports.com. Cody, my goodness, man. You didn't go with my headline, though. I was kind of bummed by that.
Well, that's because it wasn't easy peasley at all.
It was worth a shot. Like that, it was worth a shot. You know, I'm just trying to get famous and, put my stamp on some headlines. Maybe at some point you can use a headline of mine.
Portland State did lose 81-7 last week against Oregon, so maybe easy peasley's coming this Saturday.
Dude, if that I'm gonna be like an old lady if that happens. I'm gonna print it off. I'm gonna cut out the clipping and I'm gonna laminate it. I'm gonna hang it up, and that would be that. That'd be my first headline. Do you see Wyoming scoring 81 against Portland State this weekend?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Craig Bull would never do that, and he's had some teams with when Josh Allen was here. I remember they were up 42-7, I want to say, on Utah State at the half, and I think they scored one more time in the second half. He is so old school. There's no way. You know, back in his Nebraska days, they used to run up the score pretty hard, but they had to stay up in the rankings. That's not the case anymore, and he will never do that.
Well, they found a way to get this thing done over the week. It was a delayed game, too, Cody. It was funny. I'm sitting at Canvas Stadium, and I'm going to check the score to see what's going on in the Wyoming game. And it just kept saying delayed. And sure enough, like right when I look over toward your neck of the woods, I'm thinking, man, it's it does look a little nasty there. So it took a little bit to get this thing started. And then it goes extra, too. So that's kind of how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, I think I left the press box at about the crack of 4 a.m., which is fine. Couldn't ask for anything better, man. It was just a great day. The weather was actually perfect. You know, they get a little freaked out for some reason when lightning's in the area. But, no, it was good, man. It was good. It was, a little lightning storm on the high plains is nothing new in September. We're kind of getting used to that around here.
Andrew Peasley. I mean, I liked him last year. You and I have talked about him a lot, but that game, something about it, though, everything about that game. Was it a perfect game by him? 18-34, 149 yards. He had the two touchdowns. He was running all over the place. Wasn't a perfect game, Cody, but he is tough, dude. That hit, the touchdown pass that he threw in the double overtime to tie it, I believe. Yep. I thought he was going to get murdered. The blitz was wide open. They were going at him. He throws a dart into the end zone. And right then, I'm like, this guy won't quit. He is never going to give up.
No, and you're dead on, man. And, you know, he said he could get a medical red shirt and come back next year, but he has declared this is his last year. He's newly married. He's a new father. He is just, he's got a whole new perspective on things, man, and he's just literally the old cliche, just letting it fly his last year and just leaving it all out there. And, boy, did he, man. He got it. Wyoming's offensive line, to their credit, only allowed one sack all night. These beatings were taking place after throws and on runs. But he got sacked on the last play of regulation. All 305 pounds of this defensive tackle's body weight landed right on his left shoulder. And I thought, oh, my God, there's no way he's coming out for overtime. You know, got to hope Evan Sabota is ready to play. And sure enough, here comes number six for the coin toss. I mean, he just – that was guts, man. He took an absolute pounding. I mean, there's after rewatching the game, there's arguably probably a couple of targeting calls that were missed. I mean, it was one of those deals where I was like, man, he's going to go to the sideline. They're going to have to take his helmet. I mean, they're just going to have to. That's how bad it was. I mean, Wyoming plays on synthetic turf, yet he somehow managed to have grass stains on his pants. I mean, it was a beating.
Yeah, it was. And you hate to see that, but at the same time, you love to see, you don't want to see a guy get beat up, but you love to see the reaction, how they react to just getting absolutely annihilated play after play. Like you said, after the play, a lot of these were going on, not sacks, but he was getting hit. And I'm telling you, I didn't get to watch the whole game. I was in the fourth quarter and then in that overtime. But I'm not going to pick against Wyoming anytime soon, I can tell you that.
Yeah, the beauty of this, really, Brady, is his teammates have absolutely loved him and had his back from day one. He came right in from Utah State, fit in perfectly. Everybody absolutely respects him. I wrote about it in my column this week. Nobody's more respected in that locker room than him. The beauty of it, though, is now he was able to show that to everyone why his teammates love him so much. And now there's people can question his arm strength all they want, some of his decision-making, but nobody can ever question his heart and his determination and his grit, and it was on full display.
Texas Tech is up 17-0 at the end of the first quarter. What's going through your mind at the end of the first one, Cody?
I would love to lie to you and say Missouri was going through my mind, because the Cowboys went down 14-0 just like that when the Tigers were in town in 2019. I would love to tell you that, but I'm writing about it as we speak. The precision from this quick strike up-tempo offense at Texas Tech was terrifying. They made it look so easy, and they were moving so fast, and it just, they're a veteran squad, so you thought, oh my God, there's no way this team's going to hit a snag. If anything, I mean, this is going to get out of hand. And Craig Bull even admitted at the end that, hey, we were about one or two possessions away from throwing the playbook out and having to completely go against our DNA. But that didn't happen. The defense settled in, and, you know, I had people mocking me on social media saying, oh, Cody said this defense was supposed to be lights out. Well, all the defense went on to do after that, after the Tech went up 17-0, was pick a pass off and then hold Texas Tech off the scoreboard on 8 straight possessions, which just doesn't happen. I mean, it really doesn't. And there were a few missed field goals in there, but tough. They forced long ones, and they just – the defense absolutely gave them time to get back in this thing. And Texas Tech, let's be real, they played right into Wyoming's hands. And I thought that was a real fault from Joey McGuire and that staff. I know they want to go fast and breakneck and all that, but you got to realize where you're at and what you, what the game looks like. I mean, they're having three and outs in 20 seconds. You can't do that when the team when the team's trying to get back in a game. And all they did was keep giving the ball back to Wyoming, and they kept they went on a 13-yard scoring drive, for instance, first drive out of the third or out of the half. And scored a touchdown. And that is just backbreaking stuff. And then here comes Tech, another 20-second three and out. It just didn't make any sense. They never tried to get the run game going. And Wyoming's defense had something to do with that too, Brady. But, I mean, the fact they never tried to even milk any clock was insane to me.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. He's our Cowboys insider. That's what I really loved about this game too, is the defensive side of the ball. And we talked about the defense and how this was going to be obviously good again. That's just how it is in Wyoming. But you're down 17-0. It would be easy to just kind of start crawling into a hole, but not for this team. I mean, just like we talked about with Peasley, this defense, like you said, stop after stop came. And even though Texas Tech wasn't doing anything to really help themselves, this Cowboys defense, they went at the end of that first quarter and they said, hey, no, we're not going down like this, man. We're going to buck up here.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, Colby Taylor, a guy we've talked about all offseason, he's been the unquestioned MVP, no doubt, of the offseason. He's a 6'4 cornerback, and he missed nearly the entire second half. So then you start going, oh boy, I mean, Texas Tech came into this thing with 5 receivers with more than 30 yards, or more than 30 receptions last year. Their running back had 27, and they brought in a transfer at 75 at Austin Peay. So you're like, man, I don't even know if the Cowboys have enough bodies to even cover these cats. And they did, and they kept getting pressure on Shook, and he was looking more and more uncomfortable as they went. He was starting to have to do a bunch of designed not designed runs because Wyoming secondary was shutting things down, and the front was making it uncomfortable. So it was everything we thought it could look like. It started to look like on about the fourth defensive Red Raiders' fourth, fifth offensive possession of the game. It really started to look like we figured it would.
Cody, this is that was a huge win, a monster win, and yeah, they'll probably get that win against Portland State. I don't even know. Is there a spread on that game? Is it like 60 or something? What is it?
I haven't seen anything. Those poor guys. Oregon scored 9 straight touchdowns in that game.
What are your thoughts on this, Cody? Do you consider, like, it by the end of the third quarter, do you stop that game, or is it just, hey, Oregon, don't be jerks?
I don't know. As far as Wyoming goes, they have struggled mightily with FCS programs at home over the years, and that's including last year. UNC, Northern Colorado, was only 6-0 at halftime. I mean, they really had to pull away at the end, and it's been that way all along. I think about Craig Bull's second year on campus. They got housed at home by North Dakota and then Eastern Michigan on back-to-back weeks. And I'm thinking, this is the savior you guys have been talking about? This is terrifying. So, I mean, they have struggled with it took a last-second touchdown to beat Montana State at home in his debut in Laramie. They barely escaped Montana. They just – and you know what? You ask Craig about it. He coached an FCS program to 3 national championships. They take these games very, very seriously. So you have to be careful, and the track record is not good. So, to me, a successful day would be, you know, getting Evan Swoboda in the fourth quarter where he can still throw a few passes and see what he can really do.
Cody, you said track record. They might break a track record in this game, you know?
Boy, that would be nice. I would love to have about a 2-hour game this time to make up for the 10-hour game on Saturday.
If by some chance Portland State pulls off the miracle here, then I will be known as the curse of everything. I just know because I did not think Wyoming would cover against Texas Tech. I should have listened to you, Cody. and now I'm picking them to, well, obviously, I think everyone's like, blow them out, Portland State. So if somehow this happens, I'm guessing I'm going to start getting some hate mail coming in.
I'm guessing you are absolutely correct because that would wipe out every good thing that happened last Saturday in a flash.
Yeah, well, you got a chance to go 2-0 here and then before another big test, a monster test against Texas. So take advantage of that one. If you're Wyoming, go get Portland State. 2-0, four more gets you to a bowl.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And, you know, the Cowboys do have seven home games this year. And after that trip to Austin, they play three home games in a row after that. And then essentially another home game because they're down at Air Force in Colorado Springs. And Wyoming's always well represented down there in Falcon Stadium. So real chance here to get on a roll. You know, Texas is a bear. And, of course, we'll talk about them next week. But really interested. Here's a good question I was asked yesterday. Do you want Texas to beat Alabama? Do you want them to barely lose to Alabama? Do you want them to get murdered by Alabama? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, and I know Texas plays Baylor next, but that lost a little luster with Texas State's upset.
Yeah, I know. A lot of those mind games, wondering, okay, would it be better if this team is great or struggles or gets blown out? Yeah, I don't know. But either way, it's just hard for me to count Wyoming out of any game right now. I think that they're going to be competitive in every game, at least. Can say
that. I do too. And I hate to think about it this way, but I mean, say the Cowboys go into Austin and lose 31-20. You probably take that as a, you know, hey, you played really tough in a really tough environment in front of, you know, a stadium big enough to fit every single person who lives in Cheyenne and Casper. You know, not bad.
Yeah. Well, it was a heck of a win, Cody. Great coverage by you, as always. Appreciate what you do. And we'll see. Hey, we should be talking about a 2-0 team next week. I'm knocking on wood, but that's the plan.
Thanks, Brady. Appreciate you as always, man.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Yes, Texas and Alabama, Angel. That is, that's going to be the game.
Is that happening?
That's the game this weekend.
I'm well aware.
What is the spread on that game? It is.
Say Bama by 4.5.
7.
All right.
Bama by 7.
I'll take that.
Do you expect it to be a good game like that within 7 or so? Kind of flirting with a 10-point lead once in a while?
This happens a lot with Bama where they'll have a close game or they'll lose a game, and then they'll play that same team next year, and everyone's like, oh, this is going to be rematch part 2. Here we go. And then it ends up being not that. So, yeah. I think it'll be close for a half.
You feel any pressure?
Pressure?
Yeah.
What pressure?
That Texas pulls off an upset here? No?
No.
Yeah, you don't believe in that. You don't. Alabama doesn't believe in pressure. Until the end of the season.
The only pressure is from themselves.
Ah.
To hold themselves to the standard that's been set.
You've been on with Bruce on coach speak too much, I think.
I've not been on with him at all.
What? Why not? You're on every other show around here.
I am open to being on any show. I just have to be invited. I'm not going to force myself. Hey, can I come on your show? Like, no, just ask me.
They didn't ask you to be on the Nerd Show to talk about Obi Wan Kenobi or whatever.
Ahsoka?
Yeah.
Because it's the greatest Star Wars thing ever.
Better than Mandalorian?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I love The Mandalorian.
Season 3 sucked, though.
No.
Overall. Of Mandalorian?
No.
Half of it did.
No.
Mm.
It's all been great.
The Jack Black episode with El Squeezy or
oh,
whatever
in
that
it
girl
for,
is?
For like 2 minutes, that completely ruins it for you?
That was a terrible episode.
It was not. It was awesome.
No, that episode?
It was great.
No, acting was awful. Let's hire Jack Black and the girl that calls
it's
people fat or whatever.
Them. But they're in it for like 2 minutes.
It was bad.
They're in it to set the characters up with the plot. Okay, here's the plot. Now go do their thing.
Yeah.
And we'll show back up for 30 seconds at the end, wrap up the plot. Okay, go do your thing.
I don't like that episode.
I liked it.
That was a bad episode.
It's like the whole like the crime scene detective kind of thing. It's like it felt like a Law and Order episode.
That was weird. But overall, Mandalorian's amazing. The second half of season three was a little clunky for me. 39 minutes after the hour, Broncos, Raiders. Can Josh McDaniels get this thing right? He should have the offensive weapons, and they're supposed to be an improved red zone team, because what have the Raiders sucked at for the last several years? Red zone. What is Jimmy Garoppolo pretty good at? Red zone. Can that work for the Raiders? Is that a concern for the Broncos coming up on Sunday? It's a whole show powered by Chevron. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Kane, Doolin, and McQuinn and Young Law Firm. We know that we live on dangerous roads in Weld County in the northern Colorado area. If you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm. That's at trialproven.com. This Chandler Jones. Oh, go ahead.
Got some breaking news out of the NFL here. Nick Bosa has agreed to a 5-year, $170 million extension with the 49ers, including $122.5 million guaranteed. By a wide margin, he will be the highest paid defensive player in NFL history.
How much is that a year?
5-year, $170
million. Wow. Where does San Francisco keep getting all this money, man? I mean, they...
Silicon Valley.
No quarterback.
Napa Valley, any kind of valley over there in California.
This is what happens when you don't pay a quarterback, though. You can pay a running back, a wide receiver.
But who is their quarterback?
It's, what's his face?
Purdy face?
Purdy. Brock Purdy. And they'll probably keep doing that.
I love the reaction. There's two reactions. It's like, one, oh my gosh, this is great. And two is, what's this going to do for Micah Parsons? Like, every other team starts freaking out about the defensive player they have to sign now.
But it's hard to do that because all those other teams, Dallas is signing, is paying a quarterback. So, it's, this is what happens when you don't pay a quarterback. You can spread that money out. I'll be curious, Angel. Man, that's a lot of money. Worth it?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
He's their best player. He's the best player, defensive player in the NFL.
He is, but at some point, does the NFL try to stop this? Like, stop resetting the market every time somebody gets a deal?
It's like it does. It resets every time. Every time.
And I get the cap goes up every couple of years, but, like, it's going to become unattainable at some point where you're only going to have one or two or three, maybe, stars on your team that you're actually paying big contracts to.
Yeah. Well, the tickets are going to keep going up.
You'll start getting, like... Not even a vet minimum, just like a player minimum.
That is wild to me. And again, if San Francisco can keep this model up over the next, let's just say 5 years, if they can keep going deep in the playoffs where and being a Super Bowl threat without a superstar quarterback, then I wonder if you're going to see more teams. Like, again, this is a quarterback league, but... Will more teams be able to adopt what San Francisco has done?
Well, it's do you have a quarterback or do you have somebody that can get to the quarterback?
Yeah.
And if you can only pay one, San Francisco is going to pay the guy that gets to the quarterback.
Well, and Kyle Shanahan, they have a unique offense there that opens up with Debo and with Christian McCaffrey now. And they just have a very unique construct there where it's, you know, the quarterback, we just need you to be solid. And again, Purdy had... He had some decent numbers last year. But that is a wild contract. Speaking of defense, Chandler Jones, that situation is weird, isn't it? Just not gonna be with the team because, well, his Instagram post, I guess, that he deleted, we talked about it in the lunch rush, basically just says he doesn't want to play for Josh McDaniels and the general manager of the Raiders. And then he goes off on some weird Instagram thing, deletes it, but now it's reported that he's not with the team, and Josh McDaniels has simply just said it's a personal matter. That's an interesting one for the Raiders. How about the Raiders? What's your take on the Las Vegas Raiders, Angel? They should have weapons. They do have weapons on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah, I mean, I think their offense is fairly competent. Obviously, with Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow, Josh Jacobs there as a running back. I think Jimmy G is an effective system quarterback. I think if you put him in this type of pro style system, he could run it well. I don't know much about their defense. I know their defense was solid last couple of years, but
last year took a hit.
Last year definitely took a hit. So
last year, I mean, they couldn't get turnovers. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop the pass.
They don't have like a big name, like one big name on their defense.
They got the Max Crosby. Yeah. And
but he hasn't done much since two years ago.
Their D-line, that's what they're really needing to improve on. Seven players under the age of 27, which is good and bad. Inexperienced, but you got youth there.
You got depth.
Yeah, you got depth. Obviously, it was a weird thing. Derek Carr, Darren Walker, they moved on from those guys. Waller wanted out. He wanted out, but they draft a tight end. So
Michael Mayer. Oh, he's good.
Yep.
He'll fit there.
He's a monster of a human being. 6'4", 250 pounds. But that Waller thing was weird because 2 years ago, he was like one of the best tight ends in the league. Mm-hmm. He kind of took a drop, but then the McDaniels thing, you know, like that's what Josh McDaniels does. He comes to your franchise, and even if you're the best player on that team, he's going to move you out of there.
Well, I think it'll be interesting, just the quarterback spot, because, you know, how much was Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels, you know, did they get along well enough to run an offense? I guess you could, you know, in a sense, to get through a full season. But now that if Jimmy G is his guy, which they go back to New England together.
They like each other.
And they may have a common ground that say, hey, we can run an offense that we both like.
Now, here's what's interesting about Josh McDaniels, and we'll wrap up with this. When he came to Denver, he didn't initially want Kyle Orton. It was Matt Cassel. And what did Matt Cassel do? He was 11-5 quarterback when Tom Brady broke his leg under Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. So when Josh took the job, he wanted Matt Cassel, had to settle for Kyle Orton. I will be curious to see if it actually works for Josh McDaniels when he gets his chosen guy. And Garoppolo is his chosen guy. He wanted him. It was a no-brainer. They took him as soon as free agency opened up. Locked him up. 150 the time. What did we learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Buffs. The Rams. The rivalry continues. Hear our thoughts on the Rocky Mountain Showdown on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did we learn on the sixth day of September? A couple of things. Some great guests on the program today. I learned that I really do like Shedeur Sanders, and I'm a fan. I'm entertained by Primetime, but I like Shedeur Sanders. I think that guy's is going to be something special this season and hopefully beyond. Also, that Ed Werder, you know, it was thrown at him the way Primetime reacted in that press conference Saturday, but good on him for standing his ground. Now, there's a lot of people that have things to say about this that agree with it, don't agree with it. I think that Dion was wrong to call out Ed Werder for that. If you're going to call people out, make sure it's something worth calling someone out for. But really appreciate Ed jumping on the show. Angel, what'd you learn?
Yeah, more on just that conversation with Ed. Just, you know, we don't often we kind of put the media off in this other realm of you can't relate to us, or you're just so, you know, removed from society or sports, whatever, that you just have a different take. And they're just people, too, and they don't like to be put in uncomfortable situations, but it's his job to cover this team, or sometimes cover the team, and report about what he sees. And your job as the reader, the listener, the viewer, is to take that information and make up your own thoughts about it.
Yeah. Well, and again, Ed is not a writer. He didn't say anything. He didn't write anything that was bad. I don't think any of his coverage was bad. It was just the one tweet that we're thinking got out.
Stop
there.
Stop overreacting to everything about the Buffs. Not everyone's out to get
you.
You
mean they're not going to the national championship game?
They're not all out to get you. There are plenty of people out there that love what you guys are doing.
You mean they are going to the national championship game?
No comment.
Undefeated? Are they going undefeated?
No.
No?
No.
Not going to the national championship game.
No.
No playoffs?
No.
Well, we'll see if they can at least beat Nebraska this weekend. We'll talk about that more. Thursday night special makes its real triumphant return tomorrow as we look at Kansas City and Detroit tomorrow night. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.